Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here together, gathered in your name, Lord. And Lord, that is our desire of our hearts. We want nothing else to compete with you, nothing else to compete, Lord, with your place that is in our hearts, Father. But we know, Lord, there's many adversaries. We know that there's many temptations that are pulling, Lord. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, Father. And we confess truly that is our desire, Lord. We believe with all of our hearts, Lord, that you dwell in each vessel here, Father. That each vessel, Lord, that calls upon your name, Lord. Each vessel, Lord, that's been filled with your Spirit. We pray tonight that you fill us even more. Lord, we come to you as vessels longing and hungering and thirsting for more of you. We claim, Lord, in ourselves there is an inadequacy. And it's already a foregone conclusion that in ourselves there is no good thing. Our only hope is you, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, that you would just give to us tonight, Lord, that which is needful, Father. Bring us up higher, ever higher in faith, in truth, Lord. Put a resolve in our hearts, Father, to press ever further into your kingdom, ever against the devil and anything he would ever try to do in our lives, in our brothers and sisters' lives, and the lives of our loved ones. Help us reclaim the ground that Satan may have taken, Father. For your glory and honor, we pray. We ask this humbly. We ask this by faith. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate your ministry to us. Amen. It's a real blessing. So may God bless you. And I have heard other sound systems. Thank you. I got distracted here. I have heard other song musician services and other churches. And I don't know if I'm biased, but I sure like ours an awful lot. I'm just thankful for the saints and their dedication. Yeah, maybe the pianist, yeah. Violin. Amen. Yeah. Nope, and the cellist and the guitarist and saxophone player. Amen. Nope, I just love you all. You do such a wonderful service to the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Greet all those online too as well. And we just want to open God's word tonight, if you would, please. Let's turn to Zechariah 14:7, very, very familiar verse. Zechariah 14:7. Let's back up to the sixth verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Amen. And let's turn, if we would, please, to Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Amen. Luke 8:16 says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and mercy to us, to each one. We pray, Father, that you just break to us the bread of life tonight. Lord, we ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may sit. Didn't realize I didn't ask you to stand, but God knows. Lord is good. I am so grateful to the Lord and how mindful he is for each one of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, Brother Branham loved poetry. He really did. A lot of times he'd quote many things. And one of the things that he loved to quote is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's Psalm of Life. You're familiar with that, aren't you? He quoted it 36 times. Amen? Lives of great men all remind us that we can make our lives sublime. In departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing over life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. You can hear that that was just the longing in his heart. He wanted his life to be impactful. He wanted his life to be such that people would look and see that the Lord is alive and testifying of the grace and the mercies of God. That was his heart's cry. Amen? And I believe that's the desire of every heart here too. You know, we want our lives to be impactful. We want our testimonies not to go afar and abroad even. You know, even if they've never met us, maybe they've heard something that the Lord did through us or something that was said or something or other that would somehow encourage a life. We want our lives to be impactful in this world for the glory of God. Amen? And of course, our testimony is that which Christ does in us and through us. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Nothing else matters. There's nothing, another attribute or anything else that is redeemable that he desires to know. He wants the essence of flesh or anything else to be set aside. But only thing that remains is Christ. Amen? Jesus is the light of the world. He is our only hope. He is the world's only hope. Amen? And the Bible is clear, the only way to be truly fruitful is to abide. I know this sounds like ABC, but it is absolutely the bedrock truth. Jesus said, John 5:15, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." That's a good thing just to keep in mind always. Without me, you can do nothing. You know how freeing really that is? It's not your works. Not my works. You know, even you can't possibly do one good thing in yourselves that the Lord would be accepted, that would be accepted by God. That also means that you can't look and condemn yourself and say, well, what a bad, rotten, miserable hunk of shell this is here, because it's not accepted to begin with. See, you're looking at the wrong thing. The only thing that is accepted is Jesus Christ. When we get there, that's the one thing that will be examined, is that sacrifice. Amen? That is what the blood was sent for. Amen. Praise the Lord. But to abide in the vine, that means you don't just touch it, right? That means you go in there And you stay. That's what abiding means. You abide in him, right? And that he abides in you. And in essence, his presence then is with you. Amen. Wherever you go, his presence is with you. Amen. And in being that, you become a creator. You create an atmosphere around you. The more time you spend in his presence, right, the more his presence is felt in your life, in my life. Amen? Yeah. Jesus said, he is the light of the world. And he also said, ye are the light of the world. And we set it on that one grassy hill that one day, millennia ago, no doubt there is probably not prepared soil listening that could receive the word that he spoke. But he had to speak that word. He's the creator. Everything that he says, he said, my word shall not return to me void. That word went around the globe for millennia, dropping on predestinated soil. And I believe tonight there is prepared soil receiving that word, that's received that word. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In this world, there's a lot of uncertainty and a great deal of fear around us. And a devil, through those believing they control this world, would have everyone in fear that they might control them. But we're not to give in to fear at all. Our reality is greater than theirs. Think about that. Our reality is greater than theirs. God's brilliant light is way too much for their shadow land. And they're truly captured in their own deception. Amen. But we're walking in the light. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You see, everything that we have need of, the Lord's provided for us. And never in any situation are we ever to fear. Brother Branham said, faith overcomes every circumstance. Faith masters every circumstance. Whereas the world is involved in wars and rumors of war, we have been in a spiritual battle all along. See, that's the thing to look at. We've been involved in a spiritual battle all along. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do not think for a moment that the devil is stronger than the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's contrary to the word of God that would deny God's word. We know that the Holy Ghost is stronger than the devil. The Bible says clearly, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You guys, one man in God is a majority. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm reminded of a missionary by the name of Reese Howell. Anybody hear of him at all? Brother Derek? Even Brother Nate? A few hands going up. Okay. There's a book, and I've read, I certainly haven't read the whole thing. I've read portions of it. It's Reese Howell, Intercessor. It's a biography, basically. It was said of him later in life, when he entered the room full of people, the whole room changed. It was charged with the presence of God. Such is a life that is habitually in the presence of God. Such an impact was he that one man, having experienced that, he said he would give a chance. He'd carry his suitcase wherever he went, given the opportunity just to be in that presence. Isn't that lovely? Lord, I want that. Amen? I want to be have such an effect to influence others to be close to know the reality of God. Amen? To know him. Reese was born actually in 1879 and he died in 1950. That's key because it places him in history in this world. He actually went and he was greatly influenced by the Welsh revival. That's where he lived. Matlock writes, he says this. He says, the book tells of a man whose prayers and intercessions shaped the world around him and extended around the globe. The gospel advanced. Wars were restrained. Wicked leaders and regimes were overturned. Maps were redrawn. The impact of his hidden life of prayer, along with the community of believers under his leadership in Wales, Great Britain, is immeasurable throughout the 20th century. You're talking about somebody who wasn't a great orator. You're talking about somebody that wouldn't, you know, necessarily see him up on the stage. He was in the shadows. His presence was known by the Lord, for he was in the Lord's presence, seeking God, always interceding on many issues, and the Lord answered his prayer wonderfully many times. Again, showing and testifying to the world that God is real, that prayer changes things. Prayer is effectual. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. Amen? Goes on to say, in a short period of time, the whole world was swept into war. Hitler was crushing nation after nation under his seeming unstoppable war machine. You know, what's interesting about this, this is the very time when missionaries were going forth. They're going forth and they were proclaiming the gospel. You even had different ones go forth. I'm trying to think of the missionary to China. Help me out. What? Gladys Albert. There's another one. She's one. A man, contemporary of George Mueller. The Boxer Rebellion, I'll think of it probably when I get done here. He went forth preaching to help convert the Lord used him in a mighty way. I mean, he would dress up as Chinese. He would go forth, he'd make himself one of them, that the gospel would become more received as if they had identified him as one of them. And thank you, Hudson Taylor. And at the very time, that's when communism rose up. Just when God was going in there to bring Christianity into China, the devil was rising up communism to come against it. So whenever the Lord does something, you can be certain Satan is right there to try to stop it. All the things that are going on in this world, you think it's because they just want world domination? They do. But what is it that they're fighting against? Mark you not, enemy number one are Christians, especially the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the biggest mark. And so when Reese Taylor was sending forth, taking to heart the Great Commission, going to all the world, and wanting to just send missionaries everywhere, just with their hearts burning with the power of God, World War II struck. Okay? So that's what it was. That was the scene. And scores of people were dying, and the fate of the world was hanging in the balance. When Hitler's focus turned on Britain in 1940, very little stood in his way. Now, think about that. Everything he was going, just crushing, winning, wherever he was going. You can imagine how hopeless that looked. But never losing sight of every creature of vision, right? That was Reese Howell, that every creature would know, preach the gospel to every creature. Reese and the young people at the Bible College of Wales were called to contend for spiritual victory so that the real battles on the ground could be won. You can be sure there are a lot of people praying, certainly, during that time. But there are real prayer warriors, in fact, intercessors, praying. As the news of Hitler's advance came over the radio and in the newspapers each day, Reese and his company of intercessors would press into prayer for God's purpose, his purposes to prevail. Amen? Royal Air Force pilots were outnumbered 4-1, Brother Derek, at the beginning of the battle for Britain. On all accounts, it should have been a losing battle. However, when the Nazi advance was mysteriously turned away, right when all hope seemed lost, Winston Churchill famously said of the small group of pilots who had maintained their air supremacy, "Never has so much been owed by so many to so few." He's partly right. There is one who died for the whole world. That's fewer, right? Fewer people. Much, much greater sacrifice. Much greater victory, praise the Lord. But prayer. Prayer is a tremendous force. You know, whatever you have need of, ask. Jesus exhorted us that there is no fear. Jesus, in teaching his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Brother Branham commented, he says, you know, our prayers have to be in conformity to God's will. Our prayer isn't to change God's mind, it's to find his and to change ours. He already knows what to do. Isn't that wonderful? We just need to tune our frequency, if you would, to the mind of God. Amen? And he wants to do gloriously, wonderfully through us if we but yield. Amen? And then once we hear his mind, then to walk in obedience. That's where discipline comes in. Discipline. And whatever God tells you, it'll never, ever be contrary to his word. I remember reading a testimony of George Mueller. He was on a steamer to Canada, and they were slowed down by a thick fog. Okay? And he was on a speaking engagement, and he was going to be late. The rate they were going, he wasn't going to make it in time. So he asked the captain of the ship to please come down to his cabin and to join him in a word of prayer. Well, the captain was nice enough. He obliged him. He went down. And they both got down by his bed, and George Mueller prayed with fervency. He prayed with conviction. He prayed with assurance. And then he turned it over to the captain to pray. And the captain halted and faltered. And the reason being is because the captain didn't have faith for such a request. And George Mueller popped up. He says, "That's okay. We can get on our feet. I am confident that the Lord heard our prayer. I'm sure that the fog is lifted." That's what he said. He stepped out of the cabin, and when they looked outside, sure enough, the fog had lifted. See, power is a great, powerful, powerful tool. And ask anything in my name by faith, and you receive what you have. You're in the will of God. Whatever you ask, you will receive. That is a promise of God's word. George Mueller had that assurance in his heart, and he proved that many, many, many times. Amen. Matthew 21:21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Praise the Lord. George Mueller had that faith. We know Brother Branham had that faith. Do I have that faith? I believe by God's grace. I know this. I've got this conviction in my heart that is if there is ever a time, he said we'd have the supreme faith for the supreme hour. If ever we have need of, God will provide it. He even tells us, don't even give any thought of what we should say. Don't even think about what you're going to say, because in that day I will put in my mouth words that you will speak. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve a living God. Aren't you glad? Amen? Nations are failing. We know that. It was interesting. Back in 1954, Brother Branham said, she is gone. She is invaded and the spirit of communism has taken over. Wow. 54. Back then. He says, I don't know what day we're living in, but I know there's nothing left. There couldn't be a politician rise could straighten this thing out. Politics, the nation is God. Oh, God, can you get down deep enough to feel that? The nation is God, not nation, but nations. This is the best of the bunch, and it's gone. Then if the nations are gone, the world is gone. And the churches, to my opinion, Pentecost was the best they've had, but it's gone. That's in 64. Brother Branham said that in a masterpiece. You know that there's an office right now in downtown Washington, D.C., not far from the Capitol, opened up expressly for the purpose of a missionary office to be right there to pray and intercede and try to turn this nation around. It's right there. Obviously, he's not heard of what a prophet said in this generation. We've heard. He made the statement. He says, I'm not Democrat. One says, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. Why? The whole thing is rotten to the core. There's got to be something give way. She can't stand. If you put a George Washington and an Abraham Lincoln in every county in this United States, it still couldn't come back. It's beyond redemption. Says it pretty straight. But prayer does change things. Who knows? Maybe there's just enough righteous in Washington, D.C. for God to hold back his hand of judgment like he did to Josiah the king when they found unimaginably, the word of God, the book of the law in the temple. Where else would it be, Brother Derek? You know? Where did it go? How did they lose it? Who knows what happened, but they found it. They were remodeling, the story is. And maybe they hid it because they felt it was in danger. Maybe that's what happened. But they found the book, and you know the story. They read the book. And in the reading of it, and Josiah hearing it, and having it read to him, he saw that where he was, Jerusalem, and the people of God, that they violated every law that the Lord had told them. Everything he told them not to do, they did. He knew that judgment was getting ready to drop. And so then he asked, please, ask this prophetess, you know, what is going to happen now You know, he had rent his clothes, the Bible says, and he wept and he prayed before the Lord. And the prophetess said this. I'm going to read it to you real quick. If you want to follow, it's in 2 Kings 22. 22:15. And she said, "Thus saith the Lord God, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou was humbled, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which shall I bring upon this place, which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. Amen. God is merciful. Lord, if there be 10 righteous, right? Remember what Abraham, when he's pleading for his nephew Lot, even if there be 10 righteous, I will not destroy the city. Think about that. I'm sure there's probably more believers around that area than 10. They will not be there when the Lord smites it. He will get them out. Amen. And we know, too, the Lord cannot judge this world until we're taken out of the way. Brother Branham talked about the United States, how that, as far as the eye can see, it will be destroyed. Atomic blast. There's others who've had the same vision. Everywhere you look, along the border, everywhere, the United States destroyed. But Brother Branham said the bride will be taken up before that time. You see, you can't be destroyed with the wicked. The righteous shall not perish with the wicked. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 63:7 says, "I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses." I'm so thankful for his loving kindnesses. Amen. Brother Branham says this in Testimony on the Sea. 62, he says, "Prayer is the greatest thing was ever put in the hands of man. Prayer even changes God. God pronounced death on a man one time, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed, and God spared him 15 years longer." Right, it's true. Yes, we do know. We could add a commentary there. Was it right for him to ask for those 15 years? It fulfilled the word of God, because there would have been no Josiah if he wasn't given those 15 years. That's a pretty incredible. Amen. But he also talking about the king at that time. He would have, it was Hezekiah, wasn't it? Hezekiah. He wouldn't have backslid like he did during those 15 years. But the Lord knew he would. Did he change his mind? I could show you in God's word beforehand that he prophesied that there by a man by the name of Josiah would come and he would tear down these altars. Even long before Hezekiah ever came on the scene. The Lord knows every thought. He knows everything that's going to come to pass even before it happens. You think, well, I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to do this. different. Well, the Lord knew that already. See, there's nothing you can't do, nothing that you can do, rather, but that the Lord knows it altogether, even if you change your mind. We are more than conquerors through Christ. There's no reason why we would let the devil beat us about the head and shoulders, take advantage of us. Amen? Time and time again. We're not ignorant of his devices, but how often do we let those little robbers steal our time away from God, away from reading the Bible? Oh, I'll read the Bible in just a minute. I just got one more little thing to read. Been guilty of that? Yeah. We're attracted to shiny things. Right? We will overcome every temptation through Christ Jesus. I believe the Lord is stirring us. Amen. Do you sense the Lord calling you to time in prayer with him? Is there not a cause to intercede? Is not the hour late? Is there not a lot of wrongdoing going on? Are people not needing deliverance? Are people not needing healing? Amen. Romans 8:19 even says, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Even all of creation is moaning and groaning for our day, our manifestation. Our time has come. Arise and shine. We can't, but Christ in us can. And then he can make our lives sublime. Amen? For it is Christ in us. Colossians 1:26 says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope, the active expectancy of glory. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads as the musicians would come up. Lord Jesus, we're so very thankful, O God, that you are mindful of us. We're so thankful, O God, that even before we took our first breath, you were mindful, that you've ordained us, Lord, for this age. Every person that is in this room was ordained to be born for this time, for this particular reason. And Father, we are but vessels, desirous indeed, Lord, to be used by you, and for your good pleasure. We pray, Father God, that indeed you would help each one, help all of us, Lord, to get to that place where you can use us as you would use us. We desire, Lord, that you be glorified. We desire that every weapon of the devil would be cast down. We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The Bible says, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword, must die even. We know, Lord, that through you we can do all things as you strengthen us. Help us, Lord. We believe we're coming to that supreme hour. Help us, Lord. May each one of us be prepared. We know that you're preparing us. We commit ourselves now in your hands. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. About number 142? We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Praise God. To our feet, amen.
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light, one where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hear the Savior's earnest call.
It's 142.
Jesus, the light of the world.
Send the gospel truth to all.
Send the gospel truth.
Jesus, the light of the world.
Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine on.
Why not seek him?
Why not seek him then today? Jesus, the light of the world. Go with truth a narrow way. Jesus, the light. Such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Come confess him.
Come confess him as your King. Jesus, the light of the world. The bells of heaven will ring. Jesus, the light of the world. Such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day or by night. Jesus, the light.
It, 703, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet. Jesus, just to take
703
at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Savior.
So glad that the Lord is meeting our every need. Amen. There's nothing at all for us to fear if we put our trust in the Lord. If we don't put our trust in the Lord, we've got a lot to fear. Amen. He is our only hope. And truly, our hearts should be full of joy. Amen. Does anybody here tonight have a need that you want the saints just to gather around and to pray at all concerning anything? Amen. All right. Brother Derek, would you close tonight in a word of prayer? Do you mind?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, truly at the beginning of time you sent forth your light, you sent forth your word to drop down in its place. Lord, and as it was manifest in time through the great men of the Bible, Moses and Josiah, and through Jesus Christ, our word hadn't finished yet, but dropped down even in this day through great men and women that you set out, George Mueller and Lord Hudson Taylor, great warriors of your faith. Lord, we look at those and we say, may our lives too grab hold of that light. May it drop into our hearts at the predestinated time. And may we stand tall in that company as heroes of the faith, maybe not called to the ministry those were called to, but whatever ministry you've called us to. May we find the time to stop looking at the shining lights that the devil puts before us, but look to your light. May it be manifest in our prayers, in our time with you, and may it be manifest in the world in the way that you'd want it to be. Thank you this evening for that reminder that we should be people of prayer, people walking in the light, people of action. May you bless Brother Gregory. We pray, Father, that you would be with us now as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe as we drive. Hold us in your hand and help us to manifest your light at the time appointed, the divine appointments that you would send our way, that we wouldn't be found lacking in a word to say or in a deed to do, that you would put on our hearts and in our lives as we live in this dark age. But man, may we manifest your light. We commit ourselves to you once again. Till we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.